You're listening to This Woman Can, episode 37, with Maxine Atong. Fight the fear and choose a life that makes your heart sing. Welcome to This Woman Can, the women's leadership podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, executive coach, leadership development expert, and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can, and I think you're going to love this week's interview. I certainly did, speaking with Maxine Atong, hailing out of Trinidad. Now, she talks about her transition from the corporate world to becoming an entrepreneur, and really, as she says, finding a career that makes her heart sing. So before I get into it, let me give you a little bit of background about Maxine. Maxine Atong is an organizational development consultant, coach, speaker, and author. She partners with leaders who long to be less operational and more strategic so they can execute their vision. She is the author of two business books, Change or Die, The Business Process Improvement, and Lead Your Team to Win. Both document her experiences and theories on leadership commitment and employee engagement. She designs and facilitates the Enhance You program, which transfers life skills to teenagers, and her Call to Creativity program, which empowers and supports professional women on their career paths, is now in its fifth year. She currently serves the president of the Human Resources Management Associations of Trinidad and Tobago. We talk about her journey to discover a career that would make her heart sing. So please listen in. And if you find some nuggets that really inspire you, which I'm sure you will, I would love your support by you rating, reviewing and subscribing to the podcast on your favourite podcast platform, and also sharing the episode with anyone you think would really benefit from it. So sit back, relax, grab that coffee and listen to my interview with Maxine Atong. Hello, everybody. And as I said, my guest this week is Maxine Atong, who's an organization development consultant, coach, speaker and author. And she hails out of an island I'm going to visit very soon, Trinidad and Tobago. So Maxine, welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Janice. Thanks a lot for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I would have done a very short, brief outline of your bio at the top of the show. But tell me a little bit more, tell our listeners a little bit more about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
So Janice, my first degree is a BSc in accounting, and okay. I'm a certified management accountant, and I belong to the Society of Management Accountants of Ontario.
Right.
So I spent most of my career as an accountant. And somewhere along the line, I realized that certain things were happening with me. I could no longer hear my heart sing. I loved to write, and I could no longer write.
Yeah.
And I started listening to those things, and what they basically said to me is, your time as an accountant is over, and this needs to be done differently.
Right.
So I left my accountant career, and basically for 5 years, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Because I tried being a trainer.
Yeah.
So I could do training. It just felt so repetitive. Yeah. And it was sort of like having a monologue with people who were in front of me. So by trial and error, finding new things, doing new things, I landed on facilitation. And I really started to enjoy that experience because it was about exchange and harnessing the intelligence and creativity of people who are in the room.
Right.
And facilitation then led me to say, you know, if I work at a group and I could extract so much value, what would it be like if I were to work at an individual level of system? And so therefore that led me to do coaching.
Okay.
So I now do executive coaching. And during my 5 year hiatus, when I was trying to figure out what to do, I'd done a lot of work along business process improvements. And so when I started to read, you know, what is the body that controls all of this, whether it's facilitation, whether it's coaching, whether it's process, I also worked in strategy and as a change agent in organizations. I realized that without knowing it, that I was really doing organizational development.
Right.
So I said to myself, what would it be like if I returned to the belly of all of this thing that I'm just doing by finding it? So with that, I went on to do my master's at Middlesex University in organizational development. I'd also done some programs around Gestalt. So all of my work now is framed from that reference point in terms of I come from OD as a Gestalt practitioner. I work with my coaches as a Gestalt coach. And that really frames a lot of my interactions now. And it's really changed me. I am. So I refer to myself as an accountant in recovery. Because there's some qualities about that being an accountant that I don't lose. But I also notice when it's rising a little bit too much. So I have to maintain that balance between my love for precision or perfection and, of course, going with the flow or being in the moment, which is what Gestalt tells me to do.
Right.
That's my story in a nutshell.
Well, I love that. You know, you hit on something there for me. And something I've been kind of just been touching on myself is the reinvention. Because, as you said, I don't think many women, what I've been finding the past few months is that there are many women who are probably just, as you said, don't have the passion. They're doing a role because they believe they have to, but they're not following, you know, they're not taking that leap like you did to actually follow, you know, what they should be doing. What do you think stops them from doing something like that? I mean, I've been in a similar boat. You know, I jumped ship from the corporate level, you know, so I understand. But what do you think stops them?
So I'll share my actual experience. I think that is a showstopper for a lot of people. When I left my last accountant job, I was the senior finance professional in charge of 4 methanol plants. Right. So I worked in the oil and gas industry, which in Trinidad is the most lucrative industry to work in terms of salary and benefits. And when I left that job to begin my personal journey of finding out, you know, where's my heart, what will make my heart sing, a lot of people who I knew, they distanced themselves from me. So there were stories. There were stories that I had a nervous breakdown. There were stories that I was fired. There were stories that I had a bad breakup, that I had cancer. So it was like all sorts of things were said. And I think, you know, and I think that's what people fear. You know, women fear stepping out on their own and not being supported. Because once it is you break that role that people are comfortable with you in, the backlash is gonna come. Yeah. So I lost a lot of friends, you know, and that was okay. You know, people confronted me and asked me what is really going on. People were concerned, you know, it was a lot, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was sort of like, you know, who's here for me? I'm here for me. People are scared by what I'm doing. And I understand that. And so I could say goodbye amicably. Yeah. But it's a tough, and especially, you know, we are in a small society in the Caribbean. Yeah. Yeah. We are very comfortable knowing where everything is and everybody has a place. Yeah. So stepping out of place, it opens you up for a whole discussion, whole examination. Yeah. And you know, for everybody who's speaking to you in front of your face, there are 10 people speaking about you who you don't know.
and you're right, because I said, when I stepped down, I remember having the local newspaper calling me to ask me if I've been fired. And I'm like, no, this is actually my choice. And they can't comprehend, because what they perceive is that you have this fantastic job, this fantastic lifestyle that's giving you all the money. What more could you possibly want?
Yes. And I think too, it's about, you know, it's being great, you know, the word grateful. So why are you fussing? You should be grateful because you have a great job. You should be grateful because you've been an accountant and you've achieved things that a lot of people want to achieve. Why are you so ungrateful? You know,
But what they don't realize is a misalignment with your values and what you're doing, you know. And once you have that misalignment, it's very, you know, that, and sometimes people just cannot identify it, but it does put you totally out of sync.
Yeah, and absolutely. And so one of the things that I always said in that period, when people ask me, you know, when they sit with me quietly and they're being all, you know, confidential, so why exactly did you leave? You know, I stayed, it's because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I knew if I stayed, several things would happen. I would probably get really ill, like truly ill, because it was such a, it was just beginning to grate on my body.
Yeah.
Or I would just get married or just have a kid, anything to distract me from, you know, from dealing with all the things that were coming up at just being in that job that no longer resonated with me. And as you say, my values at that point in time in my journey.
Now, and I totally understand what you mean about how your body almost rebels against you, because that's what the situation I found myself in is that I'd put on weight, I had lost interest in what I would that would normally excite me, and I couldn't put my finger on it, you know. But you realize, actually, I'm not enjoying this anymore, I need to do something different. So I totally understand where you're coming from there. So Maxine, describe one of your biggest challenges, because like you said, you've had the 5 years, you're really in a great place now, but what's one of them been your biggest challenge, and how do you get over it?
I think one of my challenges is just, I guess, kind of taking myself for granted. That has always been a challenge. So there's a way in which I will, you know, move from project to project, from thing to thing, from job to job, from achievement to achievement without stopping.
Right.
And I really didn't understand the slow impact of that on my persona.
Okay.
You know, so I could do the biggest thing and I will just say, okay, it's done. And I, you know, so one of my biggest challenges has been learning to stop and celebrate and recognize that I've done that, you know, and then move on. So that was one of my biggest challenges, because what it does is that it slowly erodes the value of what I've done.
Okay.
So to understand that, you know, just not stopping and celebrating how much I deny my worth and the worth of what I have contributed, you know, that was one of my biggest lessons, I would say, and therefore my challenges, learning that process.
So how do you get comfortable with that? Because one of the things, again, in society, you know, as if we talk about how successful we've been and what we've done something as women, it's often told that we're braggadocious, it's unseemly, it's not the thing, it's not the done thing for a woman to do. You know, you do your work and hide your light under a bushel type of thing. So how do you balance that off? Because, you know, is it, so you keep to yourself when you talk about celebrating, or do you share that?
So it's one thing that's really powerful for me is being able to say, you know, I have done this, not, you know, in the generic sense, because I mean, I was brought up in the Caribbean. So of course we don't boast, you know, girls don't boast, women need to be polite.
Yes.
And what I realized is that that also was a way of taking away my power. So very much being comfortable with saying, you know, I did this. So when I go to clients now and clients say, I want X, Y, and Z, I would say, I did. I know how to do that. I am qualified in that. You know, I have experience in that. So the language around it is very much about saying the word I and claiming what it is in a normal speaking tone. And very much for myself, and I still do this to this day, I would sit at times when I'm doing my morning pages or my journaling, I will sit and just say, Maxine, what have you achieved this month? Just stop, notice, celebrate it. You know, it's not just celebrate it in this moment and do a little thing. Just have a cup of coffee in honor of this achievement.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of it is internal, because it really is about me and saying, you know, do not take yourself for granted. I mean, the world is already doing it in its own way. So you carve out this for yourself and you recognize what you do. And that just makes me walk a little straighter when I go to a client office or when I'm among friends. It just really allows me to honor myself in a different way.
Excellent. And I love the fact that you reflect back, because one of the things I think we're very guilty of doing is always looking forward.
Yeah.
You know, we've done something, we've closed the door, we move on. But we forget how far, especially going through a difficult period, how far we've come to get to the point we are at right now. So I love the way that you take that time just to, as you said, reflect a little bit and spend some time looking at the journey and how you got there. So yes, I love that. Really like that. So how has failure, Maxine, made a positive difference in your life?
You know, failure is something that I, you know, I've been a kid who would always, I did really well when I was at primary school level. In secondary school, I mean, I was playing the fool, but I always knew that I would pass, you know, because my mom has this saying, she says, exams are for passing.
Yeah.
You know, how much you study will determine the grade. So I always knew that I would pass. And when I did my master's program, when I submitted my dissertation, I was referred for my dissertation, and that hit me really hard.
Right.
So it was a total, whew, I mean, just thinking about it, it was like it's shattering, right? I mean, yes, I got a chance to rewrite it. Yes, I got my master's, but at that point in time, seeing that I had to redo it,
yes,
and I read the comments about what was bad, it was something that academically never happened to me.
Right, you know, right.
I always knew exactly how much work to do. If I want to get a B, if I want to get an A, I work a little harder. And so it was a very, depressing time for me, you know. I mean, I take these things seriously. And I was very sad around it. And I had to, again, find myself, remind myself, you know, that I've got this and I could do it. And at the end of it, what I realized is two things. One, complacency is an ego disease.
Right.
And I also realized that that failure taught me compassion.
Okay.
Because I never understood what it meant to fail.
Right.
You know, so even though I tell myself I'm not judgmental, when people have challenges and they keep failing an exam or they fail at a job, I always said to myself, you know, what is it that they're not seeing, or what is it that they're not doing, or maybe they're not trying hard enough.
Yes.
So to meet with failure after putting out an effort, I was allowed to walk in those people's shoes.
Right.
And so I have a lot more compassion, and that's great for my coaching clients. And a lot more compassion to understand how it feels to fail and understand how that could really just, you know, permeate through all the other areas of your life, where it is really begin to doubt yourself and who you are and how devastating it could be.
Yeah.
So I definitely learned those lessons. I mean, I know I need to keep my ego in check.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize complacency was about the ego. So yeah, so I learned too. Those were my two big takeaways.
So you talked about bouts of self-doubt. And I think, you know, one of the things, certainly for me, is one of the things you do is that we go through, no matter how confident we look on the outside, we all have those little periods, those little voice in our head or something of the self-doubt. So when you have those little self-doubters, how do you get yourself out of it?
I sleep.
You sleep them away.
You know, but I use sleep as like my panacea, right? So, you know, if I come home and I had a hard day, I will rest.
Right.
Usually on Sundays, I would also rest. You know, I'd go for a run or something in the morning, have coffee with a girlfriend, probably go and buy some fresh fruit or vegetables, and then more or less spend the day resting. So when I meet up with self-doubt, I realize that I think of it as I am not in alignment. Okay. You know, something is going on for me that I don't want to deal with, or I prefer not tell myself the truth. So I say, you know what, take a rest, shut down. Yeah. And when you reboot, we'll have this conversation.
Okay.
You know, and self-doubt doesn't happen like in a snap. Mm. Self-doubt happens for me over a period of time. So it's like I didn't deal with an issue, or I have a feeling that is being harbored, and I never thrash it out with myself, and it sort of grew to the point where it says, "You sure you know what you're doing?"
Mm.
Right? Because those sort of situations sort of create a ground, and self-doubt is the fruit.
Yeah, it's true. And if you had, so, and suppose you had one of your clients. Because you've learned that over a year, and being a coach, you have the skill set. So suppose, and maybe one of our listeners is thinking, oh, so how do I get through this? What advice would you give somebody who's feeling a little bit self-doubt right now?
Yeah, I would say, first thing, remind yourself of who you are.
Yeah.
Look for similar situations or difficult situations that you've conquered in the past.
Right.
Or in, you know, a talk onto what has manifested the self-doubt. Whose voice is it in your head?
Yes.
Because very often we walk around with the voices, you know, of our parents and many loved ones and teachers, you know, they plant certain thoughts in our head. And what is your true voice? And what do you need from yourself right now? Right. So those are the things I would ask.
Great. So Maxine, if you had to, let's just move on again. If you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Well, at 15, I would not pick up accounting. I would write. I would have done literature. I would have done journalism. And I would write novels for kids as well as novels for adults. And dabble in some, you know, some nonfiction writing as well.
Yeah.
I think where I am now in terms of coaching and facilitation, I think that route would have brought me here.
Right.
But without the pain at times of being an accountant. So that would be the only thing that I would change.
Right.
Or maybe it is I would work as an accountant and work with people who really needed those services instead of a huge corporation.
Yeah. So you mentioned your 15-year-old self, right? You're just then. So what advice would you give to your teenage self now?
I would say, you know what? Lighten up. It's not that serious. You don't have to get everything right. You know, it's okay to fall in love and fall in love and fall in love. And, you know, don't worry about it.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, you know, there's nothing really to worry about.
Yeah.
That's all I would tell.
Beautiful. Love that. And so in the line of work you work with a lot of leaders.
Yeah.
Yes, I see. So in your opinion, what makes a great leader?
I think a great leader is a self-aware person.
Okay.
Aware of her shortcomings, aware of what she does well, and aware of the people, and so that's with the self, and then the awareness extends to people who are on her team,
right,
and what's going on with them in terms of, you know, knowing how to motivate and inspire them. Yeah, so I think, you know, because we have all these, you know, a servant leader, a leader who's this, a leader who's that, forget all of that. It really, because leadership for me is about a journey to self.
Right.
You know, when as we grow and as we learn ourselves better, it becomes easier and easier for us to lead people. Because the things that we considered attack on our egos that make us less effective as leaders, they no longer are seen as attacks on the ego.
Right.
Yeah, so it's easy for us to be humble. It's easy for us to ask a question. It's easy for us to ask for help. It's easy for us to collaborate and extend networks and share information. All the things that less effective people do, because we don't have to protect our turf. We're pretty sure of who we are and that we are showing up in service of this great organization or a greater team or whatever it is.
Excellent. So I took away a couple of things from what you just said there.
Yeah.
The first thing was what stood out for me is that you automatically talked about the she as the leader.
Yes.
Which I love, because normally if I ask the question, people start talking of the male. So what are the differences you see between male and female leaders? And why did you automatically think of a female as the leader?
So I thought about female because I am a she.
Yeah.
And that's the road that I have decided that I'm going to walk with. And that's who I want to coach and work with.
Excellent.
So I work with leaders. In terms of the difference between men and women, this is a topic that for me is very dear to me.
Yeah.
Because the women's relationship in organizations has been evolving, has evolved.
Yes.
I think there was a period of time, maybe in the 80s and 90s, where women thought to get ahead, they had to act like men. And so there was a loss of femininity. Mm-hmm. There was a loss of our emotional intelligence. You know, not even the dumbing down factor per se, but just in terms of being tough women.
Right?
Shoulder pads.
Yeah. I remember it well.
We look like linebackers coming through the door, right? Because that's our way of boosting our confidence. And we've seen the effects of that, and it's still with us in a different way. we also know that women don't throw down the ladder as much as they could.
Yeah.
Because they're not scared of competition. They're just scared that if they throw down the ladder, the person who comes up the ladder, if yes. they don't do well, how does it reflect on them?
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of shift in that, because I think women are coming in. I mean, to be fair, women have entered the corporate world in, we have had less time in the corporate world than men.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Second World War that we started to work, yeah. you know, when all the men went off.
Yeah.
So to be fair, I mean, we are now evolving into sort of holding on to our femininity without being sexy or over-sexualized.
Yes.
We're comfortable in wearing our form-fitting, not tight dresses.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're okay in, we still have some work to do in terms of the emotional side of it, because, you know, we still can't cry in an office, which is, you know, we that is still accompanied by hysterical, right?
Yeah.
So and so there's a little bit of work to be done around emotional, or how we show and display our emotions or state yeah. our emotions. But for me, I've seen a softening of women in the organization, where it is that we are okay to show up as females,
right,
and not necessarily don a male persona.
Yeah.
So that really warms my heart. And the other side of it, in terms of you know, we're not being these sexy people either.
Yes.
We're being women, confident in our bodies. If that's how my body looks, it's okay for me to, somebody could say I look sexy, but that's not my intention when I dress.
Yeah.
So I really love the way it's going. There is some work, and I mean, that's part of the work that I do as well, because I do work with women in a group coaching setting. You okay. know, I run them through a program, like an 8 to 12 week program, where we deal with some of those issues for professional women.
Right.
So that's part of the work that I'm committed to do as well.
Okay, so, excellent. You know, and the yeah. other thing, and the other thing you'd said was that, you know, was asking for help.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a big believer in asking for help, because, you know, recognizing where I can't deliver or what my perceived weakness is, for me, asking for help is a greater strength, because I'm accepting I can't do everything myself. Yeah, I do find maybe the strong black woman narrative and stuff like that, where, you know, we have to do everything ourselves. We don't ask for help. How do we get over that? How do women get past that?
One, reject the narrative.
Yes.
That narrative needs to be buried with no marker, so nobody else. That is just a ridiculous, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it really hurts me when I hear young women say, you know, strong, independent black women, because what they're setting themselves up is not to be supported.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's such a dangerous and deliberate tool of oppression, that yeah. phrase. It really pains me a lot, that phrase. So I always tell people, I'm not a strong, independent black woman.
Yeah.
You know, I need relationships.
Yes.
And that was also a challenge for me, to be able to get here to say that to you, because that rhetoric is with us all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's in books, it's on the news, it's yeah. romanticized, and
yeah.
it really is something that is so devastating to our need for community and our need to be supported.
Yes.
So asking for help is bucking all of those things, and for us to realize our humanity, because I think that phrase really strips us of our humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm passionate in my dislike for it.
I hear that. I hear that. And yeah. you know, but you're right, because there are so many women I see struggle.
Yeah.
You know, struggle to get somewhere. I'm like, but why are you making it so difficult?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's, as they say, trouble shared is a trouble halved.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a true adage. You know, why are you reinventing the wheel? Talk to somebody. Reach yeah. out to somebody you know who's been through this already. Make it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of people, women like us, maybe, you know, yeah. paving the way, because, you know, we've done that hard, heavy lifting. Learn yeah. from us. Ask for that support. We will happily yeah. give it. You know, so, yeah, I'm with you on that. Definitely with you on that.
Yeah.
So what advice would you share with women who are now embarking on the leadership journey?
I would say center yourself, ground yourself, because you will need the grounding. Build your community. It doesn't have to be a tribe. I know people say build a tribe,
yeah.
but build your community, and build that community with people who don't necessarily think of you,
yes.
and build that community without sycophants. You know, build with people who will tell you things that you do not want to hear or have a different opinion from you.
Yeah.
Flex your muscles in terms of being able to ask for help. Develop that muscle. Right. It will go a long way. And also to have some sort of, as part of your grounding, I should say, make sure you serve all parts of your bodies. Because most of us, you know, we went to school, we're academics. I referred to, and I've referred, no words I've used here that I didn't refer to myself as, right? So I referred to myself and my, when I was coming to the end of my accountant career, as a talking head, totally disconnected from my heart and my soul. So I would advise people to really get in touch with whoever your God is.
Yeah.
And let that, you know, sort of link that to your soul and your heart.
Yeah.
You know, value your intelligence, celebrate your achievements, and definitely, you know, understand yourself emotionally. Check in with yourself. You know, how do I feel today? I feel great.
Yes.
How do I feel today? I feel a little down. Why? Because I didn't speak up for myself yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
So, and definitely things like speaking up, you know, and, you know, state you're angry. Do not act out in anger, because then you'll just be the angry black woman as well. You know,
so that's the other narrative.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, one of the things that really worked for me, Janice, in terms of this journey, was really what I referred to as my unlearning, where I looked at all of the cliches that I grew up with, and I really examined it and said, you know, where did this start? What was the basis of it? You know, is it a fair reason? Is it because people were afraid, you know, in the 60s when we were released from colonialism? What is behind this? And the more I understood that a lot of those things were fair, and you know how parents take care of you by instilling fear into you because they want you to stay on the straight and narrow, the more I was able to unlearn certain things and really be able to see for the first time. And that created the energy for me to make decisions.
So that's
what I'd share.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. Because like you said, the on learning, because there's so much, and if one of the word indoctrination, you know, that you're taught as you go along, this is how you should act, this is how you should look, this is how you should speak. And I think for my part of my journey as well, becoming the CEO that I did, was that I resisted it for so long because what I saw wasn't me. And I knew that if I took the job but wasn't me, it wasn't going to work. And it was paramount that had to be authentically me, you know. And yes, it was different, but did it work? Yes, it did. It doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means that you need to find a way that for your authenticity to deliver what the business wants. Because overall, that's what's key, the objectives, not necessarily how you deliver it per se. So Maxine, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful to you.
So I use live and let live.
Okay.
Yeah. And that really is about tolerance. And it really is about, you know, not making assumptions and not being judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, so live and let live. I also say a rolling stone gathers no moss. You know, so there's a way in which, and that was, it was deliberate then, because I wanted to be a rolling stone and not gather moss.
Yeah.
And now it's a reminder that if I keep rolling, I will gather no moss.
Right.
You know, so it's I've seen that sort of flip itself in my own head without trying. So those are my two.
Yeah. Right. And what I hear from you throughout our conversation is this level of compassion you have, because you everything seems to lead back to thinking about others, you know, rather than self. And I hear that a lot in our conversation.
That's an interesting observation. Thanks for that. Yeah.
So if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
I just can't think of a mentor.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's because I really believe that each of us has so many layers to uncover who we truly are. That when we meet ourselves, we will be amazed.
Yes.
You know, and so I am still waiting to meet the amazing Maxine. So I really want to just see, you know, what I could do, who I am. And I think looking at other people will sort of, while it will provide some motivation, I think it will block Yeah. It'll block my, I'll be get tunnel vision. So I just want to have as open a vista as possible to have a panoramic view and, you know, just go in any direction.
Yeah. I think what I love about this conversation with you especially is we were talking before about authenticity and knowing who you are and you other people seeing more than you see. And I think there's still some of that journey almost that we don't take enough time, as you said, to appreciate who we are, because we don't see.
Yeah.
We don't see what we look like, what ourselves looks like to the outer, to others.
Yeah.
So you already are the amazing Maxine.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't see it. You know, I've looked at stuff you did and I'm going, wow, we had this conversation. You've done all this. This is an amazing Maxine.
I'm going to take that. Thank you.
You know, so, you know, we just don't see it. So, you know, keep on doing you. You keep on doing you. So, Maxine, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Oh, that I'm not afraid of change.
Excellent. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I am definitely a risk taker.
Okay.
I think risk and change for me it's on the same level. I learned that I'm really, really I guess soft. I you know, there's a sort of as I do the work that I'm supposed to do and I do and I follow my innate career path, I reveal to myself how very soft and warm I am. And that is a discovery. it amazes me sometimes, you know, when I interact with people, and after I interact with them, I just go like, how different is that from 10 years ago, you know? So
that's, how does that make you feel when you think of that?
I'm, you know, joyous. I'm just really enjoying having those observations about myself.
Yeah. See, the amazing Maxine. and you talked about risk, being a risk taker. What's the biggest risk you've taken?
So 3 years ago, so in 2018, I had my job came to an end. I was a director at an Aeon office in Trinidad.
Right.
And that sort of like it panned out. By June, I had the conversation with my VP of HR, and he's located in Chicago. Right. And I said, you know, John, I'm not seeing with the changes that are going on in here that there's going to be much room for me. So he said, well, yeah, it looks like that. And I said, yeah, I think let's pull a deadline date. So my deadline date was December 31st. Some of my friends didn't agree that I said, you know, that I sort of put my hand up and said, I know what's going to happen with me. They were like, why don't you wait for the organization to do it? And so when I left, you know, one of the things I always wanted to do was just do this leadership seminar.
Right.
And, you know, I started that. So that was a risk, you know, in terms of using my investments, not working, and just putting it out there. And so, you know, but it's been so rewarding because in the first year, I always say, you know, the first year it was like my friends and family, 25 people showed up to support me. The second year it was 40. And this year we just closed off with 80 people, you know. And then we also took it to Barbados, and that we entered that market with the product. So now it was like, and you know, it was only when I did the program this April in Trinidad that I realized that, you know, wait, the thing I said I was doing, it really is a thing now. Like it, all of a sudden it became a very firm thing because it was just me doing it. And, you know, different people in my family would say, you know, where's the money for this coming from? And I'd go like, I don't know, but you know, we're doing it. And, you know, I did it. So it's something that I actually took and I invested. I took a risk. I didn't know if the market would want it, you know, and if the market would want it from me. Right. Because it's quite different if you have a huge institution behind you to put it out. You know, so here I am, Maxine Atong, you know, I am whatever it is that I do. And I'm entering the space in this arena and saying, you know, I'm here and I want to have a conversation on leadership. So that was a risk, because when you look at the Caribbean region, the people who usually step out and do that are bigger organizations,
yes,
or foreign establishments that come, yeah, here and put their, you know, they bring their arm of it to the Caribbean. Yeah. So it's a place, yeah, kind of like, you know, where it's homegrown. I've been testing the market. And, you know, so I'm seeing where it will actually grow. And yeah, we will go into other regions in the Caribbean, you know, doing this roadshow. So that was a risk. That's a recent risk. Okay. More of my risks have been, you know, in terms of just saying, I don't want to follow this path anymore. And I don't think of those as risks. I think people looking in will see it as a risk.
Yes.
Because they're saying, how could you? You know, yeah, why did you do it? You know, and they don't understand. But even like a leadership seminar, I felt that was something that I just needed to do, because how else do I make an impact and share the information, yeah, that I have? Yeah. So it's not, so, you know, I say I'm a risk taker, and those are not really my words. Those are words of other people who look at me and say, how could you? Why did you? Aren't, yeah, you scared?
Yeah.
But my thing is that it's really about what I want to do. If it looks like a risk to you, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, the amazing Maxine strikes again. You so don't realize it. You so don't realize it. Well, coming down to our last couple of questions, Maxine. So where would we find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
That's a good question. So it depends. If, like yesterday at 10 o'clock, I was looking at my niece doing karate.
Okay.
Because she was going to spend the rest of the day with me. So that, really? That was fun. Although when that doesn't happen, I would be home.
Okay.
I would have gone to exercise in the morning. I would have had come home and brew some coffee. I'd probably be home writing, or, you know, just about to clean the house. Yeah. Pretty not exciting.
We still have to do all that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how amazing we are. We still have
to do that. That's what you call the reality check. When you have to pick up the room and sweep, that's like, wait, I have to wash this.
Definitely, definitely. And what's your definition of success, Maxine?
Oh, I think success, I think we've spoken about it. Success for me is that where my heart is singing.
Yeah.
Definitely that my heart song, I need to be able to hear my heart song.
Right.
And where it is that I feel, you know, good, 80% of the time, where I feel good about what I'm doing. You know, and if there's a little bit of money left after paying the bills, yeah, hey, that's, you know, that's huge as well. Yeah. But definitely that being able to hear my heart and to have it singing.
Yeah.
That's success for me.
Excellent. So that was my last question, my last official question. But if people would love to connect with you, Maxine, how can they do that?
So it's really easy. I am on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I am on Facebook, and I use my name. My name is my brand. It's Maxine Atong. And I also have a website, www.maxineatong.com. And of course, you can send me an email, maxineatong@gmail.com.
Excellent.
So if you can't remember anything, just look on Facebook. You would see me there. And just send me a note. That'll be great. I'd love to hear from your audience, Janice.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure I put all the connections in the show notes. And Maxine, that, as I said, was my final question. It's been fabulous talking to you on this, I'll say it's a Sunday afternoon. So thank you so much for giving me your time.
You're most welcome, Janice. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent.
Didn't I tell you that was a great interview? I had some real great takeaways from there. Especially as I've been speaking to a lot more women who are going through their own life reinvention, their own transition, call it what you may. Now, the thing for me that really stood out for her and I could really resonate with is when she said she could no longer hear her heart sing. That means she was in a situation, a job that just didn't fulfill her anymore, a career that was not working for her, that manifested her discomfort in so many ways. And she had to find a way out and something that would work for her and her future. And the other thing is that I could see it didn't take her overnight. If you listen carefully, you hear her say it took her about 5 years. Now, it doesn't take that long for everyone, and maybe not everybody's in that situation can afford to take that length of time. But she did. And it was really a process of trial and error. There wasn't that she didn't work in between, but she was trying out different things that may make her heart sing, that she could look to do it. And it took her that 5 years to discover what really made her happy. And again, the thing that I took away from that is that she was fighting the fear, because there were lots of naysayers out there saying, you know, why are you leaving your job? Where are you going? What are you going to do? And that really, for me, isn't their business, because they're not the one living your life. So you really have to fight that fear. And as I said, I resonate very much with that, because I'd been through that same process myself. And the key is to make sure you deal with that need to change, and how she used the power reflection to really recognize how far she had come on her journey. Because we spend so much time looking forward and maybe thinking about the things we haven't achieved, what we haven't done, where we haven't got to, that we fail to stop and recognize how far we've actually come. And the last thing I took from her was really on learning the narrative that we've been given over the years. And women of a certain age, us 40 plus women, we've been told many, many things, how we should act, how we should dress, what careers we should be in. And it really does influence very much what we do and how we do it. And sometimes we stay in situation scenarios because it's the done thing. It's what we've been taught we have to do. So you have to spend a lot of time on learning that to enable yourself to give you a future, give you a career, give you a life that you really deserve and that really resonates and works for you. And that leads me really nicely into the launch of my This Woman Can Mindset Reset 30-Day Challenge. It's a program that's really going to help you get unstuck, make plans, identify what's been holding you back, you know, get over the fear of making that move and actually make a plan for what you want to do and the life you deserve, and to just get unstuck. And even better yet, I'm offering all my listeners the opportunity to actually win a program, place in the program, free of charge. Now, it's very, very simple what you have to do. All you have to do, as I said, it's very, very simple, is send me a 2-minute video to info@janicesutherland.com. And in that, what you have to do is answer a couple of quick questions about yourself. And they are, who are you? How would you describe yourself is number 2. Why are you applying to join the program, the Mindset Reset program? And also, lastly, more importantly, is describe your ideal reinvention. What would it look like? What would your new life look like going forward? And it's absolutely free. You just need to send me your video by the end of July 31st, July, because the new program actually starts in August and I have limited availability. I'm making one space available for one lucky woman out there who really wants to make a difference in their life, wants to change their life, feels stuck in a rut. And I know these feelings are impacting a significant amount of women, because I recently launched my free guide, 5 lessons about I learned reinventing myself at 40 and again at 50. You can head over to my website, thiswomancan.coach, to download your free copy. And I had such a phenomenal response from women who were saying, look, I feel stuck in a rut. I want to make a change. I don't know which direction to go. I am fearful of what the change is because I just have no direction. And as I said, a phenomenal response with some really great feedback. So if you want the opportunity to participate in the program free of charge, as I said, answer those 4 questions, send your video through to me at info@janicesutherland.com, and you could be the lucky woman setting out a plan for your career or life reinvention. Now, if that wasn't enough, that's great value this week. I am signing off this week here. Please feel free to, as I said, to rate, review, share, subscribe the podcast. And I look forward to joining you next week. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care. You've been listening to the This Woman Can podcast, brought to you by This Woman Can, the no bullshit guide for women who lead, available on Amazon and Kindle. For more information about the training and consulting services offered for women who lead, including one-on-one executive coaching and group masterminds, visit thiswomancan.coach.